So I want to talk a little bit about today's gospel, this kind of interlude of Jesus teaching and receiving the disciples of John the Baptist. So this is a little bit after Jesus has started his public ministry. And we'll hear about this in like a few weeks. So, but the story of John the Baptist is he is the kind of forerunner. We've heard about him a little bit the last couple of weeks. He's the weird guy that's dressed like in camel's hair and eating honey and locusts and things like that in the wilderness and baptizing people in the River Jordan. That's John the Baptist. And we will celebrate the baptism of Jesus, which is kind of like the culmination of John's ministry. When Jesus comes out to him, the Holy Spirit rests upon him and he says, "This is the one for whom I've come to kind of foretell, to prepare the world for." Kind of from the words of Isaiah that Jesus quotes in today's gospel. And then Jesus goes off about his public ministry, and at some point after that, John is arrested and put in prison. And if you know the rest of the story, ultimately he never leaves prison. He is in prison for a while until, because of someone that is very jealous of John, or very frustrated with John and John's prophecies, he's ultimately killed. And so while he's in jail, he's not hearing news. He's not knowing what's going on. He hasn't heard of the things he expected to hear from the Messiah coming into the world. Like John, while he was faithful and did what he was called to do, still, like many of the rest of the people of Israel at that point, were looking and expecting something else. And so John is wondering, did I do the right thing, right? Did I, you know, point to the right person? You know, is what I thought was going to happen actually happening? And so he sends his disciples to go talk to Jesus, and Jesus gives him the reassurance that we have in today's gospel. You know, tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. Many people expected a revolution, and Jesus comes with healing. Jesus comes with reconciliation. Jesus comes in peace. That's what we celebrate, right? That's what we prepare for in this Advent season. Peace, hope, joy, love. That's what embodies our Christmas season, our Christmas spirit. I, for one, can say I identify quite a bit with John the Baptist, not in the locusts and honey and the baptizing in the desert necessarily, but in the anxiety and needing self-assurance part of it. When you think of the picture of John the Baptist and how boldly, you know, he stood at the River Jordan, if you remember the other week's gospel reading when he's like talking to the Pharisees, it's like, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come." I mean, he didn't lack for confidence in those stories. But now in prison, after things have moved on from there, he starts to wonder, is this the person I thought he was? And Jesus reassures him. Maybe not the way John expected to be reassured, but Jesus reassures him. And then he goes further, right? So he gives the answer to John's disciples. But then he turns and teaches everyone who is there. And if just saying that he is who he's supposed to be, or who John thought he was, wasn't enough, he turns and talks about how wonderful and how great John the Baptist is, and how his work is unparalleled, how he stands kind of at the pinnacle. And then kind of goes on to say, yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. This is the beginning of Jesus starting to really publicly flip the expectations on their head. This is the point in where people start realizing something is different than what they expected, at least if they were paying attention. And it's something we have to be reminded of over and over and over again. I so often expect one thing in this life. I try to lower expectations. One of my old mentors was always very big on the idea of having low expectations and have an over-deliver, that people would always be happy with what you're doing, as long as they don't expect too much and you do a little bit more than you were thinking you were going to do. But still, that self-doubt, that anxiety, that fear lives within me. I think it probably lives within most of us at different times. I'm guessing at one time or another, each of us has been anxious or fearful or worried about what is to come, whether that was something at work, something with your family, something health-related or family-related. That is a part of our experience, right? Where the anxiety around what is to come. And we're not promised a life without suffering, right? We're not promised a life where everything is just 100% perfect from here on out. That's the promise, you know, given to us of what is to come in the next life, but it's not what is given to us in this life here that we live together. But what Jesus does say, and the reassurance he gives John, which is the same reassurance I know that God gives me, and I believe God gives to all of you, is that you are doing a good job. You are loved. You are lovable. You are forgiven. You are forgivable. God delights in you. And God is so excited about you and for you. Even in the midst of great suffering, God is with you. You might hear around this time of year the word Emmanuel, like at our carols or in on signs and things like that. Emmanuel is simply Hebrew, meaning God with us. The name that one of the names that is attributed to God is to Jesus is the Emmanuel, the God with us. You will never be alone. That is the promise of God. Even though John is fearful of death, of what is to come, sitting alone in a prison cell, Jesus wants to assure him that he's okay, that God is with him, and that he has done what he was called to do. That's our job, right? Our job is to try to listen to what God is calling in our hearts, calling us to do, you know, through our hearts, through the Holy Spirit. You know, teachings and time in church and things like this, that's part of it, right? You know, I think we get some kind of guidance and leaning, listening to the scriptures, hearing the sermon, listening to the liturgy as we worship together. It kind of gives us a guidepost, you know, a direction to go. But from there, we go in all different directions. Every one of us goes to, for the most part, a different place, you know, at one time or another throughout our week. We all have different jobs. We all have different social activities. We all have different responsibilities. And wherever they take you, I invite you to listen to what God is calling, how God is calling you to live into those spaces of your life. To open yourselves up so that the light of Christ that lives within you, that we celebrate as the candles that kind of come through our Advent season, is able to be shared. One of my favorite illustrations that Jen will often use with the kids is a lot of the stories will have candles associated with them, so the light candles as part of the Godly Play story. And then at the end, when it's time to put the candle out, they talk about how the candle, which represents the light of Christ, when it's put out, changes. It doesn't go away. But what happens is the smoke, and she points to the smoke that billows up from the snuffed candle and says that's the new way in which that light now suffuses the room. I'm sure she does not use the word suffuses, but you get the idea. And you think about that, right? Like the candle, you put it on, all of a sudden you can smell it, even if you can't see the smoke anymore. The way in which that transformation happens, I think, is very similar to the way in which we transform, right? We, you know, the focal point of Jesus as this human being that came and lived among us, through his death and resurrection and ascension, sends the Holy Spirit that every one of us might be a piece of that Spirit, of that light, and of that joy in the world. That's what we get to share with one another. And it's not always easy. Sometimes we're really bad at it. But that isn't the point. I think too often, the church focuses on trying to remind you of all the ways that you don't do it right, in order to make you think about it all the time so that you can start doing it better the next time. And that's been very hard for me, because that was at least part of the lesson I picked up growing up, that I just needed to try a little harder, I needed to do more. If I read my Bible more, if I was holier, these things would change. And a lot of them didn't. The reality is that we are who God created us to be. And we make mistakes, and some of those mistakes are, you know, they are deep-seated, and they don't just change overnight. There's a point where Jesus is asked, how many times should we forgive our brother when they sin against us? And Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven times, right? Like, never stop forgiving. The idea of Jesus' love and forgiveness is infinite, and it is unconditional, because that's what we need. We need to know, I need to know, that no matter what, God is with me, Emmanuel. That God will not forsake me or leave me. That though everyone else in my life might, our God will be with me. Our God will be with you. God's love reigns supreme. And even if you can't, if you're in a season where you just can't connect with it, please hear me say it is there waiting for you, and you will find your way back to it. I don't pretend like there aren't highs and lows. I don't pretend like there aren't doubts and questions that we all struggle with in our faith, just like John. Right? Is this the person that I thought he was? Just like us. Is this the religion? Is this the story? Is this the person that I thought it was? What do I believe? I have all these doubts. I have all these questions. I don't really know how I feel about all this. All that stuff is okay. I have those things too. Being a priest doesn't mean you have no doubts or questions. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden everything is easy and this all makes sense. It does not. And it's okay if it doesn't to you either. Our job here is not to make sense of all of this stuff. I know I, for one, am here not because I've made sense of it all. I'm here because in the midst of this life, I can't put the pieces together. It doesn't quite fit, and I'm not sure why, but there's this yearning, and there's this thing inside of me that I call the Holy Spirit that keeps calling me back. That keeps reminding me that in this message, in this story of love and of forgiveness, of charity, of grace, and of peace, there is something real. There is something that helps to connect me with the people around me and with this world that I live in. There is something that helps engender and increase the love that I so desire to have, that gives me the desire to have that love in the first place. And that is what keeps me coming back. That is what I have connected with. And whatever that looks like, whatever that story looks like for you, it doesn't have to look like what mine looks like. Whatever draws you here, whatever connects you to this place, I pray that it would grow and that it would strengthen and that it would spread from you to others. Not that St. David's would grow, though I wouldn't mind that either, right? But like that our church and the light of Christ would spread. At the end of the day, I want this parish to be successful. I want us to thrive. But at the end of the day, I want this world to have more people who love and who care and who forgive, who know what it means to wrestle through the difficulties and the suffering of life and come out on the other side so that they can sit with other people when they are going through it themselves. That's what I desire for us. That's what I want this place to be. That's who I believe we are growing into. And I'm very excited for it and for the opportunity to be a part of it with you. So whatever your story is, whatever keeps you coming back here, and it's not, I don't think, obligation, because I'm very clear that you don't have to be here. Like, if you want to be somewhere else, you can be somewhere else. I'm not going to tell you that you have to be here at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, when in reality, 10:05, 10:10 is probably okay. One of these days, I will start at 10 o'clock. So something draws you here. And whatever that is, I pray that during this Advent season that you could connect more deeply with it. And that you would open your heart up to be transformed by it. I'm not sure about you, but for me, it is so easy for me, even with all the talk of Advent and the preparation for Christmas and the Nativity, every year I get to Christmas Eve and it's like I'm surprised that it happened. Like, all of a sudden, 4 weeks went away, and I know I've been standing here telling people to prepare, and I'm like, oh, I probably should have listened to that. So I've got a week and a half. We'll see if I get it together, right? It comes up, and it surprises us a lot of the time, just like much of life. And you don't have to stress out. If you do the same thing, you're in good company. But I do pray at this time that we would have a time of preparation. We would have a time of getting ready. And that our hearts would be strangely warmed and strangely softened. That we would be able to receive the good things of God. That we could taste and see. And that would become part of our story, part of our message that we have the opportunity to share with the world. That is your calling. Your calling is to live your story. To do your best and not let anyone distract you from it because they think they know better for you. To live it faithfully, to live it lovingly, and to share it with the world. That's about as far as I got in this whole thing. And again, it's my pleasure to do my piece and to offer my part in this place. So happy Advent. Happy preparation, season of preparation. And we all got a week and a half left. Let's see where we go. Amen.